Hi, Gary?
Yes?
Hi, my name's Jeff. The reason why I was calling you is because I was reading a bunch of stuff on the internet lately.
Okay, good.
And I was hoping
you might... So, Jeff, go ahead and tell me what your story is.
Well, basically, probably the same thing that you've seen yourself, that you were the witness on the NBC that morning.
That's correct, which is false. I wasn't the person with the bottled glasses.
And you didn't call in to the news later either and say you saw a 737 or something?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that, no. I'm glad you're asking me. Tell me, who are you and in what capacity are you calling?
Oh, I was just, I just go to a lot of different forums and I was just reading a bunch of
stuff. Okay, so you're just like a reader, okay. I didn't know if you were from the media or you were the guy, one of those people, so, all right. And you got my phone number from what, information?
I just looked it up on the internet, yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly. Okay, that's interesting, too. So you're like a random caller.
yeah, I guess you would say that, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is, it's helpful for me to understand how the world is reacting. So,
What
did I tell you, Jeff? I'll tell you the truth, and I'll tell you some other stuff. I mean, I'm trying to respond to it, and so I want to put up some clarifying video or something like that, but he's this guy, Ozzy Bin Oswaldo.
Yeah, I seen his video, yeah.
Yeah. He and those people are very strange. They've attacked the Loose Change guys, too. Or one of the nicknames he goes by is Kill Town, I think. He refers to this Kill Town.
Oh, yeah, I'm familiar with him, too, yeah.
Yeah, a blog spot. So I'm not sure how many different people these are, how well organized they are, but it's very peculiar, and the numbers are growing.
Did you see the plane?
It's a specific question, because what part...
Like, did you see the plane go in to the building?
I was in my apartment, apartment 8F, on the 8th floor of 75 West Street. Don't write this down, but and I'm not in that apartment now, but I'm in the same building. The plane flew over the building about 8:45, so I was in my apartment, then I went to the roof, and other people were there. So I have a photograph that a neighbor of mine took. They witnessed the plane. There was looked like plane debris on the roof. There were body parts it seemed like blood and on the roof, and there seemed to be apparently there were reported to the police that there were body parts on a balcony on the 8th floor. My neighbors, saw that. I didn't see that. I wasn't on the roof at the time of the crash, but I was at the roof between the time the plane hit and the collapse, because I went back into my apartment when the tower collapsed. Then I went down to the street and went into, just after the collapse of the first tower, I went into police headquarters building at 100 Washington Street, and then after that, second tower fell. About an hour later, they came down and sent us to the river to get on boats and go to New Jersey. So that's what happened to me.
Well, I guess the most confusing part about it was that news clip from the CW11 or whatever it was there, where you brought the reporter onto the roof and said that the plane flew directly over your head or something.
That might be confusing. Yes, because of the way they edited it. I told him what I told you. And the plane flew over the heads of people on the roof, and there were about 15. I wasn't there till later, but it flew over my head in the literal sense that I was in the building just below it.
So there was a bunch of people that on the roof that did actually see the plane go into it?
Exactly. And there's a photograph, right? You have a copy of a photograph. And I heard a plane. Clearly says that I heard the sound of a plane landing, like the whistling noise. I believe there was a plane. And along with other people who will be witnesses, I'm sure to that fact. I don't doubt that it was a plane. But I did in the Channel 11 piece, which he accepted, and which I am a real person, not an actor, although I am also an actor in commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the guy on the MSNBC segment with, the model, the big glasses. I don't claim to have been, I was not interviewed on September 11th itself. I didn't give any video, or what didn't appear in any video on that day. I'm not used by someone to make video for 9/11 news shows.
How did that CW11 end up contacting you? They just called you.
They contacted me because I am like a recorded witness. I mean, means that I've responded to interviews in other media, once on NPR, and an interview was published in a book, because I was at that time, this is complicated, I was listed on the internet as a person who had questions, who questioned the official stories.
On the scholars list or something?
And it was Scholars for, Scholars for Truth, which at the time was splitting into two organizations, which now there's one called Scholars for Truth and Justice, and the original Scholars for, because it was ST-911.
Yeah, like the Stephen Jones one and then the Jim Fetzer one.
Well, exactly. Yeah, I got caught in the middle of that, which was that's a pretty bloody breakup. Fetzer's point of view. And this guy, Kiltown, seems to have a Fetzer-esque point of view, meaning that he wants to demonstrate that there were no planes, and he's too far out, it's a theory that distracts people away from a serious question, I think,
To a certain extent, I'd have to say that's true in a way, because it'd be very hard for people to even try to comprehend the notion that there was no planes that hit.
Yeah, absolutely.
The only thing that, the strange thing to me about that stuff is, like, being able to see in that Good Day News, New York, the nose of the plane coming out the other side, and also on CNN, where they show the clip, and Aaron Brown's actually saying he could see the nose come out the other end of the tower, which is basically impossible, because the nose cone of a plane is made from fragile fiberglass and would not be able to come out intact on the other side.
Yeah.
That is a strange, strange anomaly to me, which I can't account for.
Yeah. I agree. That is peculiar.
Did you see, were you outside when the towers collapsed at all?
Or? I was in my apartment when the towers collapsed, but I came outside, I'm only about 1,000 feet south of the South Tower. So I felt an explosion, like an earthquake underneath. Then I felt, the floors coming down one on top of another, past me. Windows went black, air filled with smoke and dust. Came out of the apartment, there was some neighbors on my floor who were running down to the street, and I went down to the street with them at that point. Didn't know what was going to happen in my building or whether my building was on fire, things like that.
So you felt like a huge rumble before the tower collapsed?
Maybe? Yeah, I felt an earthquake, shake. It was a shaking from below. That was what was distinct about it. And then pulverized concrete. Literally, we walked out into snowflakes. It wasn't, the pile is remarkably small given how much steel there was and how much other concrete there was. So much was just turned into powder, which was remarkable. And there were snowflakes.
Yeah, the strange part about that is how the steel and concrete and everything just turned, the lot of steel must have just disintegrated or something, because, like you said, it didn't account for the amount of rubble at the end.
But
there was paper everywhere. Paper was fine, but steel and concrete was pulverized.
Right. Yeah, exactly. How close were you? Were you there?
No, I wasn't. I live in Canada.
Okay, no, that's fine. That's a very accurate description of what I remember, what I experienced. My apartment was filled with paper afterwards. Yeah, it was very peculiar.
Did you hear explosions going off when the towers were collapsing or anything?
It felt to me like just a wave, a loud rumbling wave coming toward me. So it went black, and then this wave, and it just shook until it stopped. It took about, 30 seconds from beginning, or maybe, I guess, literally, I think it was something like
Well, you say like
10 or 15 seconds.
Yeah.
But it seemed to go on for a substantial amount of time. Right? And then everything black and smoke. Not quite, but I shut my windows quickly so that it was possible to see, but everything was covered with a film of gray dust. So anyway.
Yeah, like I've seen pictures on like of the cars where they have like that thick layer of gray dust covering them and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
The most interesting thing, though, I guess that you said was that rumbling that earthquake like.
Well, yeah, I thought so too. That I should have felt. This is one of the questions that I have, and I've said this in other places when I've reported it this way in other places that I've recounted the story, but the official pancake story of how the building collapsing from the top down doesn't completely square with my experience. I remember rumbling from the bottom up. So that's a question that I have. And then the pulverization. But I want to consider Stephen Jones's investigation. I want him to investigate further, especially with regard to Building 7, which doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, that's a definitely a huge anomaly, is the Building 7.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Did you see that one going down, or?
No, I got out, because I didn't fall to 5.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because
I got out about, maybe, between 10:30 and 11, I think.
Like, have you talked to other people that heard the same kind of things you did, that feel the same way and stuff?
You know, not too many. I speak sometimes to neighbors, but we don't speak very, because there are still some who live in the building who were here that day, and we haven't talked explicitly. Some of us were in different locations and different parts of the building, or we were asleep or different things, so we experienced it differently, but that's all. We don't have quite this, you know, I haven't discussed exactly how I feel about this with any neighbors, although I have with other people in other groups. I guess I've gone to some meetings in New York of people who, and screenings of films and things like that, and was with people who shared questions, different questions sometimes, but definitely, you know, had puzzles about what took place and how it took place.
Yeah, so there are other people that are.
Yeah, let me re-express my question. I do talk to people who share doubts, different people have their own special memories of it. And then, you know, there's also the evidence, like the seismic evidence, right? You know, the feeling of the
Yeah, that would account for the large rumble that you felt just before
exactly.
The collapse.
So yeah.
Hmm.
Well, I appreciate your calling, Jeff, and you sound pretty reasonable. I'll answer more questions, and it's fine to talk.
No, well, I thank you very much for your time. I didn't really have any more questions other than. My main question was, like, you know, whether or not you saw the plane, because I had seen, I guess, on the internet, someone posted an email that you had.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, yes.
Okay.
I wanted. That's. It sounds like you're. I understand the video that he. I watched the video that he made regarding the nose of the plane. So, you know, I just. It's a peculiar question. Yeah. You're entitled to ask that.
Yeah, but like I said, the confusing part was that CW11 news, and maybe it was the way they edited it, where
it was the way CW, well, a combination of the way CW11 edited it and the way Ozzie Ringwaldo edited it. Yeah, I understand.
Just making it sound like
that. I tell you what was interesting. When I gave the interview, they were here only for a very brief period of time, and I said that I told the story to them a couple of times, so that they had, you know, different. They had footage to use of it,
right.
But I was most interested in talking about the building collapse and and I did say the rumbling part, but they didn't use that in the CW11 clip. I didn't consider for a moment whether I was testifying about whether I literally saw an airplane or not. I mean, I didn't think that was ever in doubt. So I didn't make a point of saying I saw an airplane. The way the guy in the, you know, the other video clip of the MSNBC thing, I wasn't trying to sell, or question. I didn't even possibly question that there was an airplane. So this, to me, this is like a subtle point. I mean, that comes up. But, you know, that's just what he's fixated on, so I have to respond as accurately and faithfully as possible to it. You know, I don't disrespect his right to ask that question. But, the irony is, I think we should be on the same side. You know, we should both be in agreement. This is what's peculiar about questioning, you know, the official story. And if his question is even, further, it has less current public consensus or acceptance.
Well, I guess a problem with everything is that just like the Stephen Jones Jim Fetzer split up, there's within another split where people are thinking that even the first layer of this so-called truth movement or whatever, like the loose change level and stuff like that, that they're covering up more of, they're still fictionalizing something that happened and yet still covering up what actually did happen with people that don't believe that there were planes and stuff.
Yes, exactly.
But like I said, I myself have been very skeptical of that too, and the only thing that seems strange is that nose coming out the other end is just I don't know how to even comprehend that.
It makes you want to check the video sources or the other footage of it, but it is a peculiar, something must be going on there. It is peculiar, but I don't know. It's weird. What the strange thing about that footage is, to me, is that this is why I wrote the emails, but if that's true, it's plausible. Maybe there were no planes. How did you fool me? Because I heard it, and and there was evidence of it on the roof, right? There was physical evidence, of it on the roof, or some physical evidence of something on the roof, it's too complex, it makes you, who's doctoring what? What's the truth?
Mm-hmm. And like even with the Fox footage of the nose coming out the other end, when they released their archive video, they've cut that part out and replaced it with another video with the same audio behind it, so that you never see that anymore. The Good Day New York footage.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's gone off Fox's archive news now. They replaced that video with different video and kept the same audio.
How interesting. How by the way, so you searched you searched those archives, the Fox News archives? I never have been literally into any of the news archives.
Oh yeah, when they first came up I started downloading them and then they took them down.
What site do you go to?
It's just archive.org and then you could find it through there, or you just go to Google and type in September 11th news archive and they have it all there now, but it's in like just streaming format where you can download like the flash video files now, but you can't get the nice high quality MPEG video footage of it anymore.
Okay.
But they took that down as soon as that whole BBC scandal thing came out, where they had Jane Stanley reporting Building 7 falling a half hour before it did.
Well, exactly. Yeah, that's something that fascinated me, too. And I wonder, what did happen to that video? It made news for a while, and I didn't know if it was still possible to get it. You said that disappeared?
Well, they took everything down when that came out, and then they put everything back up, and they actually have it there. I just seen it the other day on the archive, that it was like one of their featured videos, I guess you would say. And
who is featured videos? And you mean the archive featured video?
Yeah, right on the archive website, you see it there in the corner, and it says featured video, and it talks about it. And
is the BBC.
Yeah, the BBC video.
It's a Building 7.
Right. Yeah.
Ooh, that's interesting. And is that been altered in any way?
No, it's still there, the same as it was before. The only thing that I know that's been altered is the Fox video with the nose coming out the other end. As far as I know, the rest of it's pretty much. Like, I don't even know, I don't know, I don't see how people would be able to go through all that footage and doctor it before they put it up, but...
Yeah, well, here's the, you know, what the Fox video with nose clip, but right now, that you're saying the one on the archive site has been doctored.
Right.
And that the one, and we believe the one that Ozzie Binwaldo was using has not been doctored.
Right, that was the original footage that was on the TV that day.
How do we know that Ozzy's was the original? That it was there before the current one is?
Oh, well, that video was on the internet on YouTube and stuff a long time ago,
okay.
Like a year ago maybe.
The fox with nose cone.
Yeah, and then when I downloaded it from archive.org. Even on the original archives they put up with the high quality video, it's doctored and the same exact voice is there and everything, because they can't really change the voice in the middle of sentences.
Interesting.
But the video footage isn't there anymore. They use a different video footage now.
How interesting. Mm-hmm. You really do the complete research on this. Yeah, that was to me one of the big questions for me about Ozzy was
if that video was before or after.
You know, what was the source of it? Could he have doctored it? Meaning, you know, was it somebody else, you know, taken video and changed it? That aspect and the pullback, you know, the question regarding when I think it was a Fox helicopter video, maybe the same video, you know, there's a zoom in, and the plane appeared too late, seemingly. That was another part of Ozzy's argument.
No, that was the same video. That's the Good Day New York News, where he's...
That's also a different source. Interesting.
Where they have the camera zoomed out, and then they zoom in, and where they're doing the measurements of... Well, you should have been able to see the plane when it was back here.
Exactly, yeah.
And all of a sudden it zooms in. Yeah, that's another part with all this video, too, is like the cameras zooming in and blacking out and doing all this stuff. Everybody's doing it. Like it's just when you watch them and you see like the different zoom ins and zoom outs of the video, they all seem to happen just before the plane hits, and they never really get a good picture. Like, they never really got a good shot of the plane, and it gets very strange and very confusing, I guess, after you go on.
How interesting.
And then, like, you know, I guess when that video came out with you and they said that you were the one on MSNBC and then you had called in, that made everything even stranger, like...
Oh, yeah.
It was just weird. But...
Well, oh, yeah, exactly. And,
like, even... I had talked to somebody, an eyewitness in Shanksville for Flight 93, and the thing that, it almost sent a chill down my spine, because the guy was saying, like, he was working at the scrapyard, and he had seen the plane fly over his head, and him and his boss were running to the crash site. Like, they were watching the plane fly by, as he tells me, and when it crashed, they were like running, and they seen it in their eyesight all along, and they say it crashed, and they got there, and there was nothing there. Like, that was the freakiest thing I've heard in a long time.
Oh!
Was how you could see a plane going.
Yeah, yeah.
You see it in your eyesight while you're running towards it, and it crashes, there's a big explosion, and then it all clears, and they get there, and there's nothing there at all.
Yeah.
And that's just like, wow, I couldn't even, it just sent a chill down my spine.
The genuinely unexplainable things. One of the other things for me on the other side, I think it's on Setzer's, one of Setzer's big things is the cars that were burned, east, which was called the FDR Drive, like a fair distance away from the World Trade Center site, probably like a mile away.
The steel in the cars are melted out or just vanished, but the tires and everything are fine and stuff.
Stuff like that, yeah. That makes me think, there are, to me, unexplainable. I mean, if I have no theory, I don't want to accept a theory that explains that.
Yeah, it's just, I guess that's what how things turn into conspiracy theories, because there's all kinds of maybes and possibilities, but there's nothing solid to say anything concrete, I guess.
Well, there are some things, one of the first steps toward that, whatever the consensus reality is, whatever the history of it will be, happened when Christy Todd Whitman went before the Congressional Committee and testified that she gave the best information she had.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, yeah.
So what's astonishing to me so far was that no one apparently is speaking on behalf of, maybe they will tomorrow or later, speaking on behalf of the scientists at the EPA, must have got it wrong. I mean, here's the question. Was there a crime of any, apart from it, after the terrorist attack had, after the buildings had collapsed, let's say it that way, after the buildings had collapsed, it was the Environmental Protection Agency's mission, their legal mandate, to test the air for safety. And if they tested it, and still now many people are sick and died, apparently there was an error, right?
There has to be some accountability.
Exactly. So who's going to be held accountable? Was there a mistake? Will they bring the science out? What did the science really say? Who, if it's not Christie's fault, then whose fault is it? And I don't know. Because right now, as he's saying, as Rudy is saying, blame the terrorists. Well, no, actually, I don't think we should do that. I think somebody has to tell us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
About that, about safety on the site afterwards for the residents, for the rescue workers, that's what causes me to first question the official story. Whatever the next step is with regard to this, we'll see. But they're moving in some direction. But I also believe that goodness knows what kind of weird stuff happened that day. There are so many other areas that I have questions about that I think are fascinating. What's the Pentagon? Was there a plane? Was it a missile? Why can't we see footage of that? Why was there no wreckage of a plane there? Apparently, or what was there? All of this is about what happened, what actually happened to the real planes, and who flew the real planes, and are the hijackers alive? Some of them, how do we know they're the hijackers?
Yeah.
The FBI lived with the hijackers, or they were in contact with them. So, very odd.
Just so many and mountains upon mountains of questions and no answers to them.
Yeah. It'll always be a mystery to some degree. I think the fact that the CIA, recently released the documentation to prove that we were attempting to assassinate Castro was startling. It's amazing to me that Castro or Cuba haven't objected or taken us to court about it. You know, we're coming clean about, you know, an attempted murder, an attempted assassination of another head of state. And currently living and in office, head of state.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and like usually they release things after everything's been long gone and done, but this is still actually like in the moment still.
So it's, I'm sure it's deeper than just like the Kennedy, or spy, domestic spying, or windows on the Kennedy assassination, or other historical events. There are certainly many questions about them, sometimes fascination with them.
Even the notion of like a lot of people, like I guess, blame George Bush and Dick Cheney for the attacks and stuff. Where when you say it's a lot deeper. It's a lot deeper than just George Bush and Dick Cheney, too.
And yeah, absolutely. It's too, in some ways, it forces you to ask the question, who really controls the world? You know, to what degree September 11th attack,
I've always kind of thought to myself, if they would have found out what really happened with Kennedy and stuff like that, there might not have been a September 11th.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
It was still the same people that have been doing this stuff all along.
Well, it's deep, isn't it? Whatever, variously referred to as the powers that be.
Yeah.
Or the big they, the people in charge. Yeah, it's very peculiar. I share that questioning that things are happening, that are, known to some people, but not known to the general public. One of my interests is in oil production, and I follow the federal government, the Energy Information Agency's production reports online, and I'm fascinated by the fact that the price, the amount of crude oil production, and the amount of oil is called basically supply of oil and all other liquids that come from the ground, natural gas liquids and other things. It has been flat for at least a year. Crude oil production actually hasn't increased for about 2 years.
Like that's what you're talking about, peak oil and stuff.
It's happening. Grain supplies are low. So I think a lot of theater. Theatrical events that are taking place in front of us are covering other things. I think like the war. What's the war in Iraq covering up? Is it a grab for oil? To what degree is our current, I'll say, a taunting of Iran related to the control of oil supplies? Yeah, and control of real estate that has oil underneath it.
Well, that's where I believe there's something deeper than just they caused 9/11 to be able to go to Iraq and get the oil and stuff. I think there's something else going on there. But I don't know, maybe in time things will become a little more clear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we just don't know. I hope so. Well, I'm gonna go and do some other stuff, but I appreciate talking to you.
Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
If you want to write to me. Give me your email address, and I'll put you in contact so I don't delete your mail.
My email is sure, S-H-U-R-E,
right.
_ DJ at hotmail.com.
Well, actually, I really appreciate your calling me. Thanks. Write to me or contact me if you have other interest. This is good.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to clear that up a bit.
Oh, I'm glad you did, and I'm trying hard to do it. I'm afraid of the number of people who have responded and have watched the video. It's a large number. I'm getting plastered.
Well, like I go into forums and stuff like that where Killtown and those guys are, Nico Hopped and stuff.
Yeah.
So I was gonna kind of maybe let them know about what you said to me.
Oh yeah. I don't want to become. This is interesting. I've been advised by someone, who contacted me by email, who's concerned about people who are. People like me, I guess, which are the loose change guys, who are harassed to some degree by these people. And his advice, his advice was not to respond, not to get too deeply into it. This is a good question. You can ask. I was told and given the impression to let it go and let it die down by itself, because they move on to some other topic. But I don't know how dangerous this is, and I'm just considering how to respond to it. Do you think many people are obsessed with me, and that this would matter?
I don't think so. I think it was more like the initial reaction was like people were. It had more to do with thinking that you might have been the guy on the MSNBC.
Yeah.
And then I was reading through some stuff last night where a lot of people were saying that no, they don't think it was you. I have to admit, I even kind of took two pictures and kind of looked at them for a while and said, well, I don't know, it could be possibly with some good, makeup art or something. But no, I think that was the initial thing was. The initial problem was, is this person working or doing the bidding of somebody or whatever,
yeah,
and going out and putting out these different stories and contradictions and because there's a lot, like, I guess a lot of the people that are in the TV fakery so-called genre, they don't trust anything that's coming out of the media for good reason, I think. Like, if you do look at any of the videos from that day, there's something strange about those camera shots and the zoom ins and zoom outs and the blackouts just at the right times and everything, and it's strange. Like, you could even tell on some videos where there's one very famous witness that right after the towers collapsed, he's on TV saying, oh yeah, well the plane reamed right into the building and caused some structural damage and it weakened the building, and it due to failure of the building, it collapsed on itself and fell down because of the fire weakening the steel. Like, this guy's in the middle of the street, all of a sudden he's relaying the official story.
Exactly.
Later.
I know that clip well, and I realize that it seems peculiar. Yes.
Mhm. So I guess you kind of got stuck into that category for a bit.
Yeah. No. Please, what you can do is relate that I, did disavow, and persuasively, I hope, that I was not that person, and that was not my role.
Yeah. I think a lot of people have came to the conclusion that that wasn't you, and it was just the fact of that CW11 interview where you were standing on the roof saying, and you're saying it came right over our heads and it crashed into the building, and then the email saying that you were in your apartment and you didn't see the plane. So I guess people might have taken that out of context and said, okay, well, he says he was on the roof and he watched the plane go into the building.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. and it was a function of the way the material was edited. And I'll take a look at this. This is the Killtown TV fakery thread. Is what you're talking about? If I go to Killtown's website?
Well, if you go to 911researchers.com,
Yeah. You
could find stuff there, and then you can also go to www.911movement.org, and that's Killtown's forum, and you could find some stuff there.
Yeah.
But I was, like I said, it was just, I follow a lot of stuff on the internet, and I'm just kind of like a, what they call a 9/11 hacker. I just kind of surf around and read everybody's stuff. And
right. Oh, I'm glad you did, and I'm glad that you bothered to contact me, because I've been intimidated. My first learned of it was when Nico, who I actually knew from other events prior to this, wrote me an email. I got a message from him on YouTube, because I'm a member of YouTube, or something like that, said something scathing to me, like something like, I can't even remember it now, but it was like, you something something. And well, what's this about? You know, Nico, I know who you are, you know who I am, so why are you upset? And so I looked at it, and then I was startled, because the video, the Killtown video, and was startled, and, you know, by how weird and twisted it is. And
You mean the Ozzy Ben Oswaldo video?
Yeah. Well, is that the same guy?
No.
Oh, really?
You know, yeah. They're two different people. Killtown never really got into that stuff much. He just kind of, the situation with you, Killtown just kind of, he kind of looked into it a bit.
Uh-huh.
After it was brought to his attention, I think, from the Ozzy Ben Oswaldo video.
Ah.
And people, he just posted a little thing on his forum about it, but he never really, he was never one to really say, oh, this guy's a disinformation person or anything like that.
So I'm trying to determine who the real, who should I set straight, you know, because I shouldn't be regarded as a disinfo agent and not a threat, you know, not someone to make death threats to. Have I written directly to Ozzy Ben Oswaldo?
Well, I mean, you've said basically everything you know that you wanted to get straight to me, right?
Yeah.
I don't know how you're gonna come off on this one. Well, I guess I could just say it. Mr. Waltz, I'm very, I hope you don't get offended by this, but I kind of recorded the phone call that we've had.
Oh, okay, well, this is weird. First, what is your purpose? You're recording the phone call to share with the internet?
No, actually, I was just going to send it to Killtown so he could know what you really had to say.
So there are so many people here in this. How weird.
I'm sure if you wanted to talk to any of those people, they'd be more than happy to talk to you. They want to talk to you, actually. You could, like, just go on the forum and talk to them.
Well, perhaps, but I guess I have to ask,
I didn't know exactly what you...
I guess I kind of want to just leave it alone. I'm curious, tell me if you, I mean, is there something that I should be afraid of? I'm curious why they're so interested in or obsessed with me. How do you think I should respond to this? Should I say go ahead and share the phone message? I mean, I guess so, because probably you're going to do it anyway. But I'm a little bit frightened by this approach.
Well, none of these people, I think, are bad people. I think they're really good people that want to get to the truth. And there's nobody seems to be telling the truth about anything. And they've been... Like people like Nico and stuff like that, they've been researching things for a long time, and he's, like, a lot of people think, okay, he's some nutcase or something like that, but he's been very smart about a lot of things that he's done, and his record has shown that. Like, I guess he's, you know, he's outed some people in their own movement in New York, like this guy named Les Jameson.
I actually know
as a disinformation agent, like through this group called Urinacea, and through Tavistock or something like that, and even Stephen Jones, there seems to be a problem with him because he worked in Los Alamos Metaphysics laboratory on directed energy weapons before. He was at Brigham Young, and that's like a recruiting ground for the intelligence agencies, and he sabotaged the work on cold fusion during the 80s with those two guys that were coming out with cold fusion. There's a movie on Google Video where you could see it's called Heavy Watergate, where it shows all that. Like, he was basically seemed like an agent saboteur kind of person, working for the government at the time, and destroyed the whole concept of cold fusion at the time for those guys.
Oh, you know, that's fascinating. I question if that's how correct that is. It's very interesting. Here's my take on it. Like, I remember Nico as a pretty, you know, well, as you described him, pretty well-informed stand-up guy. But I also, I still, you know, I haven't been in touch with Les Jameson for probably more than a year or so. But I have respect for him, and Stephen Jones, I have respect for him. I guess I wonder, what I share with you, Jeff, and I think this is a fascinating part of this conversation, ultimately to get to it, it's that I'm interested in what the truth is. And I have a certain amount of knowledge and trust and skepticism. So I look deeper, and I have some experiences, you know, which I try to integrate into, you know, what I've learned. And I want to trust something. I want to trust somebody, but also, you know, it's. I think I put out there for myself just like. There's something not quite right in the world. You know, somehow the fabric of reality, you know, doesn't quite hold together consistently. There seem to be inconsistencies in the fabric of reality, at least what people agree to. And, it's like, you know, how will we ever see past the veil? Let me say, Kiltown and Ozzie Ben Oswaldo and anyone else, I'm trying my best to tell the truth. And I welcome your questions and maybe corrections. Maybe I made wrong assumptions, but I only want the truth. And
well, that's where I think you guys have something in common, because I think people like Nico, Kiltown, there's a few other people. I've never really talked to them. I just know of them, like Peggy Carter, she goes by, and the Web Fairy, people like that. They all get together, and maybe, you know, I think maybe they're really the ones that are looking for the truth. I think a lot of the other people are more in it for money, selling DVDs, and giving their version of the story. Stuck on, like, say, Stephen Jones is stuck on thermite. Well, we know thermite couldn't have been the only factor in those buildings pulverizing to dust like that. And then you have people like Dr. Judy Woods, who was the one who who really got onto that the dustification of the steel, and I guess just the way she worded her research, where she called them Star Wars space beams, kind of gave it a negative feel to it. But the people like Nico and those guys, they're not stuck on one theory and just want that theory presented and won't look at anything else. They'll look at anything that makes any sense.
Sure.
I think they're the people that have brought out all the information into the public conscience, and people have taken what they wanted from that and traveled with it. They're always looking for new information and looking at new angles and stuff, and like, I guess you came into the picture somehow, and maybe I think this whole thing got blown out of proportion. Like, you seem like a very nice person and a very sincere, honest person that really does care about the truth, and that's exactly what I think they are. Like, you guys all live in New York. I think they get together all the time. Maybe you should get together and talk to them or something, or go for a coffee with them or something.
Maybe that's a good idea. I agree, and maybe I'll approach. You know, you pass this message on to them. I don't.
But as far as you being concerned about anything bad, I wouldn't be concerned with that at all. Like, that's I wouldn't at all.
Well, okay. You know, I appreciate that, and I'm a pretty open, trusting person. You see how vulnerable I am. You can get my phone number off the internet and talk to me. You know, so.
Well, that's what I thought was a little strange. Like, if you were actually a disinformation person or something, how would it be so easy to get a hold of you?
Yeah, exactly. So I leave myself open, I guess at least the Ozzy bin, is Ozzy bin of Waldo in New York?
I'm not exactly sure who that person is. I know he had an account on YouTube before where he was called Ozzy Bin Oswald, and then he got his YouTube account shut down, and then he's now Ozzy Bin Oswaldo.
Ah, okay, all right. Well, he's the one I find, threatening.
I'm not sure exactly who that would be, but like I say, you can go on to the 9/11 movement forum, 911movement.org, and talk to Killtown and Nico and 9/11 researchers. That's where Nico posts a lot of stuff, and that has to do with Rick.
Rick Siegel?
Yeah. Rick Siegel, the one who took the eyewitness video. But I think he was the one who put up that site with Nico or something. I'm not quite sure, but all those people, they seem to be like the real people doing a lot of the real hardcore research, while other people are saying, oh, it was George Bush, the American government did it, and it's almost like they're trying to destroy America, because it wasn't just the American government that did it. It was like criminal people that infiltrated this great nation that we call America.
Ah, well, interesting. Yeah, I think I see what your perspective is. Yes, I think it is deeper than naming a government. Tell you what's interesting, because I'm kind of was wrapping up on this, but some of the resistance to theories like the no planes or the energy beam and some other things comes from people who want to take the questions mainstream, meaning, you know, from the perspective of, say, like the 9/11 widows, for example, are very respected question asker. Group of question askers. You know, they're famous list of questions to the 9/11 Commission.
Like the Press for Truth ladies?
Yeah. Okay. You know, that they are, you would say, an unimpeachable source for, you know, the right to ask these questions. And that they're you know, or things like that, that you, you know, you don't want, you want in some sense justice. It's very interesting, truth and justice. Do they really go together? Can you, you know, can you obtain a social event, justice, you know, a legal case, you know, proof of guilt, prove the case of, homicide or accidental death or what is a car accident called? Not murder in the first degree, manslaughter. You know, what's taken place? Has manslaughter taken place or has murder taken place?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and who's the, you know, different stages, who's responsible for what? I don't know if you can get to justice if you don't sort of reach some consensus, at least temporarily, about what the truth might be, and run with that in order to obtain some justice, rather than, you know, pursuing what might be the explicit literal truth, you know, perpetually. You know, it's a very interesting. I can see what a complex question it is for someone who would want to be active. You know, if you call are you a truth seeker or are you an activist? And at what point do you have to say, probably this is what I'm going to go public with, you know, and the rest I don't want to. The other questions I want to at least leave in abeyance.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's very interesting. I mean, I look forward to go ahead and share this with people. I think I'll probably drop in and look at some of the posts on one of the lists or make a post to a list. I don't want to be misunderstood, but I also don't have a whole lot of time for this. You know, but I owe it to myself at least to try to be to set the record straight. Let me say that. Yeah.
Okay, Gary. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me, and thank you for understanding, you know, everything that I said to you. And
well, I hope so. Do you want to give me? You gave me an email address. Do you want to give me your phone number?
Sure. My phone number is area code 705-945-0011.
And you're in Canada?
Yeah.
Toronto or where?
Oh, Sault Ste. Marie.
Are you an American citizen?
No, I'm Canadian. I live right on the border of Sault.
I'm just curious. You're allowed to have patriotic feelings about America, whether you're a resident of the United States, Canada, or Mexico.
Well, that's how I feel. We're one big happy family now, so
well, exactly.
We're all in this together.
Well, it's Jeff. What's your last name, Jeff?
It's Hill.
Okay, very good. Well, I hope this is a useful conversation. I appreciate your being so thoughtful. Let me know. Talk to me. Call me back if you want, or let me know what happens if people have a response to this. And thank you for your interest.
Okay, Gary. Thank you very much. You have a good day.
You too. Goodbye.
Bye.